Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you were with us last week, you know we were talking about the authority God gives to civil government to protect the citizens within the country, within the boundaries of the country, and also protect and provide for the defense of the citizens from outside threats and from outside terroristic activities and war made on the citizens. And so God is the one who ordains government. He is the one that raises up leaders, and he takes leaders down. He raises up nations, and he tears nations down. And he operates and he acts through the agency of humankind. In other words, without our ability to vote, without our obligation and our right to vote, this country would look much, much different than it does. And by the same token, we're in the shape that we're in because the people that we have voted into office in many ways have let us down, have deceived us, have lied to us, and also we have not stepped up as believers to take on the full responsibilities of citizenship that God has expected of us. And so there are many reasons, beloved, that we are in the condition we are in here in America. And a lot of it also has to do with it has just been prophetically declared that in the end days there would be wars and rumors of wars. And so you're seeing that. You're seeing outside terroristic threats against the United States of America. You're seeing moral decay and threats from within. And so God has granted us the authority to defend ourselves. God has given us the authority to defend ourselves against outside enemies and attackers who would come against this nation. And also, in defense of your property, God gives you the authority to do that as well. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Exodus 22, and I'm going to start in verse 2. And God here gives instruction through Moses to the children of Israel. If the thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. But if the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt on the part of the homeowner for his bloodshed. He, the thief, should make full restitution. If he, the thief, has nothing, then he shall be sold as a slave for his theft. All right, so we can learn a couple of things from that. Number one is that if somebody tries to break into your house at night and steal from you, or you don't know what their intentions are, they may be coming to try to kill somebody in your house or to rape your wife or your children, or you don't know what in this day of so many crazies running around out there, and ISIS threatening the Mall of America, and ISIS threatening people and Christians all over the world. You don't know what somebody's intention might be that is breaking into your house. And so if the thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. And so we have the right here in America to defend our homes. We have the right to defend our families. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, you have every right to go buy a gun, to keep that gun beside your bed or under your pillow or wherever you want to keep it. And because we also have lawful concealed carry here in this state, and in most states in the United States, we have concealed carry, and even in some states, we have lawful open carry of weapons for self-defense purposes, that the right of self-defense has been given to us not only by God but by this government, and that is a right guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the Constitution. It is a right that is guaranteed through our Constitution that you should be able to carry a gun and you should be able to bear arms, and in times of need, in times of self-defense, that you should be able to use that gun to defend yourself, to defend your life, to defend the life of your family and your children. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you will have no guilt if somebody is breaking into your home and trying to steal your belongings, your property, or if somebody is trying to harm yourself, your wife, your children, or even your dog, that you don't know what their intentions is, what their motives are. You have the right to kill them. But in verse 3 there in Exodus 22, it says, if the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt on the homeowner for his bloodshed. In other words, when you can see that he's coming in, maybe just to take your TV, and it's not to destroy, kill human beings. He's just wanting to take your TV or steal a loaf of bread. Then you have the opportunity, because it's sunlight, because there's light on the situation, you have the opportunity to see what his motives are. And therefore, if you shoot him dead, you have bloodshed and guilt upon yourself. Well, many times we don't know what people's intentions are. It's best just to stay on the safe side and be ready, because this day and age there's so many crazies running around, people that have no common sense and are on high on drugs or high on alcohol or just in some other way mentally unstable. You don't know what their intentions and their motives are, so I would just say stay ready and stay prepared in case the worst shows up at your door. Well, in Exodus 21, verse 12, Moses said, "He who strikes a man that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait," that is, if he did not in a premeditated manner wait to kill him, "God has delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee." And so there is in the Old Testament the concept of cities of refuge, and those cities were established in the land of Canaan, and they were also established in on the other side of the Jordan River, so that if anyone accidentally, what we would call manslaughter, if anybody accidentally killed a person, if an axe head flew off the axe handle and hit somebody that you're chopping wood with and it killed them, then there would be an opportunity for that person to flee to a city of refuge, and he would find refuge there, he would find safety there, and he would be able to stay there without any fear of his life until the facts of the case were determined or until the death of the high priest, and then he could go back to his home. But anyway, it was a place for him to be able to flee to in the case of manslaughter or accidental death. But Moses said that he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Well, that's premeditated murder. And of course, we know in the Ten Commandments where God says in Exodus 20:13, the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." And also likewise in Exodus 20, verse 15, "You shall not steal." And so if you, in a premeditated manner, take someone else's life, then the government, the state, even the government has a right to take that person's life in the death penalty or to lock them up in prison without parole. And so there is a retribution that comes when you lie in wait for someone and kill them in a premeditated manner. And there is also retribution that comes when you steal somebody else's property. God considers these things to be very important. He considers life to be very important. He considers your life, my life, the life of our children, the life of our families. He considers them to be very precious and very important. He said in Genesis 9:6, when he was making the covenant with Noah, "Whoever spills man's blood, by that man the recompense must come." In other words, if you spill somebody else's blood, by your life that recompense must come. And so God places a very high value on life. He places a high value on people's property. And so your property and your castle, your place of residence, your domicile, you should feel that you're able to protect yourself there. You should feel like that is your place where you can protect yourself and be free from anyone to come in and any perpetrator to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Well, in Exodus 21:14, it says, "If a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die." And so God has swift justice for those who act wickedly, and God has swift justice for those that steal and for those who have no regard for the law. And again, he said in Romans 13, we'll look at that scripture in a minute, that the government is the instrument of God for righteousness, that the government is acting on behalf of God, and the civil authority is acting on behalf. He is actually a minister of God. Well, God authorized self-defense all through the Old Testament. You can look at examples. You can read the Psalms, Psalm 18. We'll look at that in a minute. But all through the Old Testament, you see examples of God authorizing self-defense. He also authorized the children of Israel to carry out warfare against their wicked enemies. He authorized the children of Israel to make war. And David said in Psalm 144, verse 1, he said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." And in Psalm 18:34, David said, "He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Well, David was the warrior king, but he was also a man that loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. And so we can say for sure that God loved David. David loved God. We can say for sure there that God asked David to carry out his commands to make war against the enemies of Israel. And so David became king of Israel, and he also was anointed to be a mighty warrior in battle. Well, another example that we have in the Old Testament where God authorized self-defense is in the book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bible there, turn it to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, and I urge you just to read that whole fourth chapter. It's all about self-defense is what it is, and you will enjoy reading that after this broadcast. Just read the whole chapter. In Nehemiah 4, verse 13, Nehemiah says, "Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." And verse 14, "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.'" And verse 16, "So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah." And verse 18, Nehemiah 4, "Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me." Well, in America, this is where we get the concept of the citizen militia. This is where we get the concept of it is okay and it is God authorized, God ordained that we can carry weapons. It is God ordained that we can have weapons in our homes and we can defend our families, because here in Nehemiah's day, they had gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. The walls had been broken down when the children of Israel were taken captivity. The walls had been broken down. And God sent Nehemiah and Ezra back to rebuild the walls and to prepare to rebuild the nation of Israel. And so Nehemiah went back there, and when they started to rebuild the walls, then the enemy raised up its ugly head and it came against Nehemiah and it tried to scare Nehemiah and children of Israel who were working on the wall. And so Nehemiah said, "We're going to keep building. We're going to keep moving forward in the construction of the wall, but we're taking their threat seriously, and we're going to arm ourselves. We're going to put on our swords and gird our swords to our side, and we're going to have our bows and our spears with us. And if the enemy tries to come in and take over, if the enemy tries to intimidate us, we're going to be ready to fight." And so Nehemiah wasn't backing down. He was ready. He was prepared, and that is an example for us believers. We're not going to be backing down, and I just pray that as a nation, we get a backbone and take a strong stance against ISIS, and we wipe them out. We go and kill them as they continue to kill Christians and behead Christians and burn Christians and rape and torture, and I just pray that as we get a backbone that we would move against these this demonic force of wickedness. The whole world is waiting for the United States to move. The whole world is waiting for the United States to do something. And the longer we delay, thinking maybe this is just going to go away or this is going to dissipate, the longer we delay, the bigger this problem is going to get. And it's going to mushroom into something really very ugly and very huge that it's going to be very, very difficult to deal with. Well, back to Psalm 18, David has some more instructions about warfare and taking on his enemies. He says in verse 37, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. In verse 38, I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you, God, have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who would rise up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. That is, to the wicked, he did not answer them. So God will give you the authority to defend yourself. A lot of what David is talking about here is, of course, not just actual warfare on the natural plane, on the earthly plane, but he was talking about spiritual warfare as well. He was talking about in the spirit realm to be able to take on your enemies and stand on their necks and destroy them. And when the enemy, that is the cohorts of Satan and the demons, come against you and come against your family, they're going to cry out to their demon gods. They're going to cry out and pretend like they want the Lord to hear them and hear their cries. But God says he will not hear the cries of the Well, last week we looked at the New Testament instruction where Jesus was talking to the disciples, and I'm going to read that again today because some of you may say, well, that Old Testament stuff doesn't apply to us today. Well, yes, it does. Every word of God, every scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every word is God-breathed, and so we need to pay attention to what God says in the Old Testament. We need to pay attention to what God says in the New Testament, and none of it contradicts any of it. It is all in perfect unity with each other. It is all in perfect wholeness and oneness. And so when you put the whole counsel of God together, then you see what God authorizes, what he allows, what he encourages, and what our responsibilities then are as born-again believers and people living under the new covenant. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus was talking to the disciples. Luke 22, verse 36, he said to them, but now he who owns a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus was saying to you, to the disciples, it's okay for you to go get a sword. It's okay to sell your knapsack. Prior to that time, he said, you don't need a knapsack. You don't need two robes or two changes of clothing. You don't need a sword. But now he said, the testimony that you carry and the hostility that you're going to run into, not only from just common robbers who are going to try to steal what you have, or not only from beasts that will try to kill you on the road, but also from those who hate your message. From those that hate your message, they are going to try to steal, kill, and destroy you. And there are going to be people, brothers and sisters, the day is coming when there'll be people come to your home and try to take you out and kill you just because of your message, just because you are a Christian, just because they know by the way you live that you're a Christian. And there'll be a time coming in this nation when Christians are going to be singled out and persecuted, and there will be an attempt to drag them out of their homes and to put them in camps. There'll be an attempt to kill them simply because they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, simply because they have testified to the awesome power and the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in their life. And it's going to get that dark in America eventually. I don't say it's going to happen next week or even next year, but it will eventually get that dark in America, I believe. But we are to contend for righteousness. It is our duty and our right to contend for righteousness. And I'm not advocating that the first thing you do is run, get your gun, and try to kill your way through all the wickedness in this country. That isn't going to work. There may be individual times when the best thing you can do is just lay down your life for the kingdom of God. There may be individual callings and individual responsibilities on individual people when the only thing and the best thing that you can do is just to submit and lay down your life and let them take your head. I can't tell you what that situation is going to look like or what it's going to be for you. You have to decide for yourself what that situation will be. But there will be martyrs. There will be people martyred for the kingdom of God here in America, and it's coming much quicker and much sooner than any of us can imagine. Well, in verse 38 in Luke 22, Jesus, so they said, "Look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." In other words, as if to say, well, there's 10 or 11 of you guys, and so you have two swords, and that is enough for you to defend yourself from anybody that would try to steal from you or anybody that would try to attack you. And so he said, that is enough. Well, in Romans 13, verse 4, we looked at this scripture last week, and I'm going to repeat it one more time. For he, the civil government, is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword, that is, the civil governor, does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Well, I pray, brothers and sisters, that we won't have to defend our homes against ISIS. I pray that the government will get in gear and take care of this situation over there in Syria and Iraq before it comes to our doorstep. But I say that the word of the Lord gives you the authority and the responsibility that if it does come to your doorstep and they try to drag your wife and your children out of your house, you have the right and the authority to defend them and defend your property and to defend your family, even to the point of taking that ISIS guy's life, because God will not defend the wicked. He will not listen to the prayers of the wicked. They can be praying to their demon god. They can be crying out to Allah and yelling Allahu Akbar all they want to. But when we cry out to Jehovah God, the battle is his, and he joins the battle. And so I just pray that you would pray about this. Pray about this nation to be strong in defense of our citizens, not only here in this country, but that we defend Christians. We stand up in solidarity with Christians all around the world. And we can't run to every country and defend, but this ISIS situation definitely calls for our defense. It calls for our intervention. It calls for us to stand strong as the nations of the world are looking to us for leadership. Well, it all starts with Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who died on the cross for you, not as an act of pacifism, but as an act of shedding his own blood. The sinless, spotless one shedding his own blood, that through him our sins could be forgiven, that through him we could come to know the righteousness of God. And so I urge you, I beg you, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior this day. Come to Jesus, turn to him, repent of your sins, confess your sins, get down on your knees and cry out to him, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and he will be faithful and true to save you and to send his Holy Spirit to come and set up residence in your holy temple. And you will be born again. You will be changed forever for all eternity. And I pray that you do that today. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.